blind, but now I see.
And it's good to see each one of you out this morning. Good to see Brother Hansis and his family with us. If you'd like to follow along in your reading, if you'll turn to 1 Thessalonians, we'll read the scripture we read last week and spoke on it. 1 Thessalonians 4th chapter, beginning with about verse 13, and then we'll read Revelations 4 and verse 1 for our reading for today. I announced it the other day that maybe Brother Woodby would be with us this weekend, but we kind of changed that on account of having to take care of the baby here. Wade and June, they're gone on a little business trip of his work, and we had to take care of the baby, and was afraid we might have a little trouble with it, so we asked him if they would just to come the Lord willing, he's supposed to come this next weekend. So I'll announce it that way. The Lord willing, he's supposed to be here this next weekend to speak for us, and that'll you can tell people that you see or something, some of them that would like to hear him. Let's read starting verse 13, 1 Thessalonians 4. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. Now Revelation 4 and verse 1. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for an opportunity of gathering here in time, Lord, that we can set aside to fellowship one with another. We pray that you might just grant us understanding of thy word. Give us this day the daily bread we desire of thee. Forgive our sins, cover us by the blood. Lord, we've asked you for these that are sick, for the ones that are lost. We pray that you would do a work in their heart. And those that are sick, Lord, that you would heal their bodies. Grant us understanding of your word, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We've been on this now last Sunday. This will be message number 3 on his coming. I guess you could put the title to it, but maybe we'll try to finish it up this morning if we can. But I hope you're catching what we're trying to say about the things of the rapture and all, because coming up to the place where we have preaching on the sixth seal, and I'm just kind of waiting to see what the Lord, how he would lead to start speaking on the seventh. And so I just preaching whatever would more or less just come to me as a message, and then looking and seeing how that it connects so much together. But what's our main thought now that we spoke on this just a few services ago, and all of trying to see how the Lord does something, then he reveals it, and then he makes manifest something after it's revealed. And I've tried to get you to see that I believe that's where the biggest mix-up that comes in the people of the message is, that they don't catch that and get it in this right understanding. And then thereby, when it comes to a manifestation of it, we were talking about the coming of the Lord, you know, because the sixth seal brings the Lord on the scene. The seventh seal, you'd say, is his coming, but he comes on the scene on the sixth seal, according to the prophet. When he got out on the sixth seal, he said, now right here is where he comes on the scene. Well, see, then what we're talking about, the coming of the Lord, then the coming of the Lord will have already been over with And people will be looking for it. You know, they'll be trying to find it when it's already over with. Brother Brown said they'll go right on thinking they're getting the Holy Ghost and things happening and all like that. And he said it'll done be over. Well, now we're trying to study it from that point that God does something. We read it to you out of Christ's Mystery of God Revealed, how that he does it, and then he revealed how he does it. See, then the Lord makes it manifest. Well, we was bringing it out like divine healing, you know, that it's already done. It was done back there at Calvary, you know, when he took the stripes. By his stripes we were healed. Then when he died at Calvary, every person that was ever saved was already saved right there. All right, then it's already done. Then he reveals to you that it's done. See, that's the point of where you're at. Like you need healing. See, you're already healed back there when he took the stripes. But now you say, well, I'm still sick. I need a healing touch this morning. Well, what you're saying is, I want the Lord to reveal to me that I'm healed. See, because if you just say, I want the Lord to heal me, and he is standing here, Brother Brown said, if he's standing here with this suit of clothes on this day, said he couldn't heal you or he couldn't save you. He said, because it's already done. I see, we ask the Lord, say, heal me, Lord, of this, and then we don't feel no different. All right, then sometimes you say, Lord, heal me of this, and you feel a little different about it. And then when it does, after a while, you see something start happening, you start getting better. Well, really what happened to you was the Lord revealed that to you or made it known to you in faith that you was healed. You ever been that way? You ever had it made known to you and you're just getting sicker and sicker and sicker? But yet you'd say, well, I know I'm healed because I'm not just taking it on the basis of the Word even, but said because it's been revealed to me that I'm healed. It's been made known. See, that's what revelation is. Well, then God does it, and then he'll reveal to you that he's already done it. Then he'll make that manifest by healing the body or saving of the soul, you know. You say, Lord, save me. Well, you're already saved because he done that at Calvary. But it's not been applied to your life personally until you accept it on that basis. Then when you or me accept it, see, then the Lord reveals to us that we're saved. Then he'll manifest it through the life that we live, and it'll be Christ living in us. See, the hope of glory, as Paul was covering. But in that we saw that the rapture proves, in looking at the rapture and seeing we were talking about the coming of the Lord, I said, I'm not looking for the coming of the Lord. See, I've changed my thoughts in the past few months about something like that. I'm not looking for the coming of the Lord. If we take what the prophet said, then we shouldn't be looking for the coming. Now, there is a return, there is a manifestation, there is a rapture, there's a carrying away, and all the different things like that that you can talk about the coming of the Lord. See, I hope you're understanding what I'm trying to say. I'm not looking for his coming because his coming is already over. Brother Branham standing there, he said, I'm not like Paul Revere tonight crying that the British are coming. He said, I'm not saying the Lord's coming. He said, I'm saying the Lord's already here. Then we took the message of the rapture message, and we've been showing that that's true and would have to be true. And going through it last Sunday, we went through it to see everybody in the message now, as I said to you. Everybody in the message, basically, they'll say, oh, sure, we're already in the rapture. The rapture's already in process. See, they can read it right out of the book. They'll say, well, I can read that to you. The rapture's already in process because we've done got the shout. Well, now, if we've got the shout, then the Lord's already come. Because the Scripture plainly states there that the Lord himself shall descend with a shout. All right, then, as we went through it, we're not looking for
the coming of the Lord like, say, we used to look for it. That part of the shout's already here, and everybody will tell you that. They'll say, well, sure, we've got the shout. We're already in the rapture. We know what the rapture is. We're already in it. It's the shout it went forth. Well, was Luther in the rapture? The prophet said he was. He said he'll come up one of these days proving it. Well, then it would have to be the message that the prophet brought would be the descending of God, because Luther just brought a little part of it. And that's his part of the rapture. Wesley just brought a little part of it. That's his part. The Pentecostals, they brought a little part. That's their part of the rapture. So they'll be in the rapture, won't they? But you don't hear the people talking like that. They just say, we're in the rapture. We've heard the shout. Well, then the Lord has descended. Now, if you got somebody out there just coming in, they haven't heard the message, have they? You got people that are just beginning to receive it, they haven't heard the message. So you couldn't say the whole descending of God is over with like that. But as quick as they hear that shout, it's over with to the person. When they really hear it the way the Lord intends for them to. But the Lord had already descended when the prophet brought the message. Or else he would have been wrong in what he said. He said, I'm not saying he's coming. I'm saying he's here. Well, see, then in the rapture we found his three things. The shout, the voice of the archangel, and then a trumpet. All right, we studied the shout to see that that's the revealed word. The shout is the word. Then the Lord descends with a shout. The coming of the Lord then would be tied up in the revealing of the word, wouldn't it? All right, now what was it on our last message? Now, last Sunday night we got to. What is the voice of the resurrection? Everybody's looking for the voice of the resurrection. Now, what is that voice of the resurrection? People will follow you, as Brother Brown said. Now, from right there on, you know, when he got on Spoken Words Original Seed, he said, I guess from right here on is where we'll differ. See, he brought something there that they could pretty well agree with, you know. All right, now, I've laid it out pretty well that way, and that we all agree the shout, that the Lord himself descends with a shout. We read it out of the Bible, and we know that the descending of God is the spirit of the prophet. We can read that from the prophet's message on Spirit Speaks Through the Prophet. Then we can take what Brother Brown said here in the rapture book, how about two or three times he says that the shout is the message to get the people together. But now, where's the voice of the resurrection? What is that voice of the resurrection? See, we talk about that we're in the rapture. The rapture consists of three things. The shout, the voice of the resurrection, and the trumpet. We can read out of the books. We can read right out of the message here, and we did last Sunday, you know, quoting it and reading it and all that, whatever was needed. That we can say, well, the voice of the resurrection, that's the same loud voice that raised Lazarus. We know that's the voice of Jesus Christ. We'd say, well, we know the voice of the archangel, that's the voice of the archangel. Well, that's the voice of Jesus Christ. Well, now tell me what the voice of the resurrection is then, if you know that much of it. I mean, what will it be in the voice of the resurrection? Will it be that we're just sitting here and all at once it comes a funny sweep across all of us and we say, we've got the voice of the resurrection now, Brother Tatum. Let's go down to the cemetery and find some of those old brothers and sisters that have went on in the Lord and we'll just raise them up out of the grave. Now, the Bible says, speaking of the last days, that they that are in the grave, Now, speaking of a spiritual, like what there in John about 5, where he talks about how that they'll hear the voice of the Son of God. That's speaking of a spiritual sense, in that you'll be raised out of your unbelief when you're born again. That's spiritually speaking. But it also coming down to the last days, that they that are in the grave shall hear the voice, because Brother Branham used that over and over, that they'll hear the voice of the Son of Man. He used Son of Man instead of Son of God in a lot of his thoughts. I don't know where it was to get a point across, or what it was to say, or just maybe him misquoting the Scripture just a hair, because the Scripture there says Son of God. But now, will it be that we'll just get together and go out there, or is it something now that says they've got to hear? That's what I was trying to get across last Sunday night. Those that are in the grave hear the voice. Now, we hear the voice. Watch how it ties together. We hear the voice, and it raises us spiritually. Now, we're not raised physically. You know what I'm talking about? We're not dead. We're not dead this morning. We're here alive. So we're not looking for a physical resurrection. We're looking for a change. See, we're looking for a change, not a physical resurrection. But those that are in the grave, they're waiting on a physical resurrection. And their whole body has done decayed for thousands of years now and gone back to the dust of the earth. But yet the Bible says that they'll hear. Now, then what would it be? How would it be that they would hear the voice of the resurrection? See, we can just say, well, the voice of the resurrection, that's the voice of Jesus Christ. You know, we know what that is, because he stood there before the grave of Lazarus and he said, Lazarus, come forth. And then say that, we say, well, boy, we know what the voice of the resurrection is now, because now we've already got that. Well, what did Jesus use? You remember the thoughts on that the other Sunday night? What did Jesus use to raise Lazarus? Was it just the voice of a mortal human being? We say, oh, well, Brother Dale, we know what that is. That's He was God, so He could do as He wanted to. Well, that might be true. You know, that's a good thought, but that's not what I'm talking about. Jesus used something to raise Lazarus from the dead. And I gave the illustration. I said, now, to me it's like when Brother Branham was there. You remember the man come to him and his child had died or son had died or something. And the man came to Brother Branham and Brother Branham searched all the regions of the lost and everything and told the man, he said, I can't find your son, said he must be at rest. But said, now I can call him back. And he's talking about Lazarus. He said, I just reading it a minute ago in there where he said that Lazarus said, who knows? Said, we don't know where he was at. Said, but 4 days' journey, his soul had already went somewhere. See, 4 days' journey. Whatever Jesus done had to bring him back 4 days' journey back into flesh. Whatever happened that little boy over there that was raised from the dead in Finland, the little boy had been dead for a little while there, something happened that man's voice had to go back in there somewhere. Was it just this thing we're talking with? People say, I want to speak the word. I'll be glad when I can speak the word of the Lord. And then they make Brother Branham a cheap magician and they say his mouth was formed just exactly right where he could speak that certain word. Well, we better find out and get us a picture and find out how it was shaped if we're going to speak it. I told him the first time I heard that, I said, don't make Brother Branham a cheap magician. It was not the shape of his mouth. What I'm trying to get you to see, it wasn't the words going out of Jesus' mouth, Lazarus, come forth. It was a connection that whatever he said there had to do with that person that was gone. It's not us walking out to the grave one day, come on up, now it's time to go. As I said, I believe we'll be in meetings or somewhere or something and they'll just walk in. I don't believe you'll go out like you see pictures, you know, and all of where they go out and dig, angels digging up the graves and the people raising out of them, you know, and all. We don't believe in that. But what is it that brings those out of the grave? Did you catch that last Sunday night? If you're listening real careful, if you wouldn't, maybe you need to go back and listen again. We spoke of a connection that was between the dead and the living. Something that was between the two that would do the pulling. Not just words you speak from your mouth. Although that's involved because Jesus did say, Lazarus, you know, come forth. There's words involved. Sure, maybe one of these days somebody will say, I just called it, church, the dead's raised. You know. It might be that simple. How many of you remember what I said last Sunday night? I said, you better go roll up your car glasses because it's going to rain. And you know it didn't rain nowhere else, but it rained right through here. See, sometimes you just pick up something and speak it. It didn't rain a quarter of a mile down the road in any direction, did it? But yet it rained right here. Because I asked the Lord that while I was speaking, I didn't even stop to do it. I just asked him, I said, Lord, it was coming up clouds all around here. You know, everybody knew it was coming up clouds because it's thunder and lightning off in the distance. But I said, Lord, just let it rain just to let the people see that what I'm trying to say is the truth. And it rained right here and didn't rain nowhere else around here. See, sometimes you'll pick up, maybe that'll be the way it'll be. I don't know. But listen, sometimes the Lord does that to get us to listen to what He's saying, too. And pay close attention. Because I was trying my best to get down to a place to see what the voice of the resurrection was. What did Jesus use to raise the dead? You know that the prophet told you what he used? He told us exactly what he used to raise the dead. But what I wanted you to get was that the coming of the Lord, the shout, it says, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. And I told you that's not like descending from on the moon or Mars or Venus and he's got to come down here. The same man that said the Lord's got to descend from heaven with a shout was the same man that said God's not up in heaven, that one would have to go there to get him and bring him down here. Well, now, was he contrary to what he was stating previously? Then the descending of God would not be descending from up there. As I told you one time about the gap that's in the book of Revelation, that mainly that gap's between our ears, you know, where our brain is at. That's the biggest gap I know of, is in our understanding. All right, then the Lord descending is not like coming from up yonder down here. He's been here ever since the day of Pentecost because he went away and come right back. But it's something coming into view. It's something coming into where you can see it and comprehend what's being done. See, then that falls in, he does it, then he'll reveal it. Now, revealing is what? Brother Brown said, waiting until the last days, Christ the mystery of God revealed. Waiting until it could be fully comprehended. then he would express it. Comprehend means to understand. In other words, he's going to wait until the people can understand what's going on, and then he'll make it manifest or express it. See, then what are we waiting on? We all say he's already come and descended. Now, in the second stage would be the stage of the revealing of it, the making known of what he's done, or the comprehending. Then the Lord's not up yonder. We're trying to comprehend that he's already here. We're trying to understand. He's trying to make it known to us today that he's here and not up in heaven. And the men that saw it, like Moses and Paul, they said, God's not over the sea that one would have to go there and get him, bring him. God's not up in heaven that you have to go. Neither is he in the grave that you got to go get him, bring him. But it's what did he say? Now watch what Paul said and you'll catch the voice of the resurrection. He said, the word is nigh thee. Now where's it at then? The word is nigh thee. Now watch, Jesus used something. He used the voice of his lips to call Lazarus from the grave. You following me? Paul said, the word is nigh thee, in thy mouth. Alright, now there's what Jesus used. His physical lips said physical words. But where was really the word at? Anybody can pick up the Bible and read it and have the word in their mouth. He wouldn't care if as long as he could read. Or you could even tell him to quote after you. He'd have the words in his mouth. But the Bible says, in thy heart, in your mouth. He said it's a word of faith. He didn't just say it's a word I speak or anything. He said it's a word of faith which we preach. Then somewhere in the preached word, we'll find the voice of the resurrection. Somewhere in the preached word, the Lord will reveal it and we'll comprehend what's going on. You see, the setting now of what I'm trying to bring it down to, that was what I was aiming to there last Sunday night. The only connection I see between me and those that have died and gone on was the faith that they had and the faith I have. The revelation they had for their time and their hour. Why would it be necessary that this end time bride, see coming all the way from back there, all the way to here, would have to have all the word? She's required to have all the word when she comes to the end. Because everyone that would ever be in the word would have to be connected to it. See, it's the word of faith which we preach. It's not just the word. It's all we've got the word. You can ask people, say, what's the shout? Oh, that's the message. We know what the message is. Well, now what's the voice of the resurrection? Oh, it's the Word. More Bibles in the world? Ever been. But they know nothing about the voice of the resurrection. Well, they just hadn't heard Brother Branham's message. We've heard Brother Branham's message. What did Brother Branham say Jesus used to raise the dead? Now I've tried to preach over it and put it in there where you could catch it, especially when I read it, the word that you'll see what he was saying was right. The Lord has already descended. He's already done it. then he reveals what he's done. He makes known. He lets you comprehend what has happened. And then he'll make it manifest. What I was saying a while ago, I'm afraid basically most people will fall in a category that they'll be looking for the coming of the Lord when it's already happened. Alright, when the manifestation of that comes, or if you want to call it latter rain that Brother Branham said about sweeping of the world, you know, and all, he said, how did it would do? When that begins to sweep, and I believe it's already in motion now, people will be saying then, oh, ain't it great? This is the coming of the Lord. When it'll be the going away of the bride. See, they'll be on the part of Him doing it. That's what they'll think He's doing, Him doing it. When He's already on the stage of manifesting it. Because He's already revealed it to a group of people. And then making it manifest, and people will be saying, oh, ain't it great? This is the coming of the Lord. This is what we've looked for and longed for. And these people preaching two souls, seven thunder virgins, all kind of doctrine, I don't care what it is, mine or whose. The anointing will strike them just as well as it will the true and genuine or anybody. It'll fall on everybody. The Baptists will be shouting and all of the things going on. The Methodists, the Pentecost, they'll be saying, look, we've stayed with the Word and the Lord's come to it now. It'll already be over with. And even the people of the Message say, well, we're already in the rapture. Well, if we're already in the rapture, then the Lord's already come. Is the Lord going to stay up there and pull us? We meet the corporal body now in the air as we go up. We understand that. But I thought the Lord had to be here. I thought He had to be here on this earth before He could take us away. We're not talking about a physical corporal body that He comes back with. We're talking about a physical manifestation, as Brother Branham would call it, a manifestation among us. He said He'd be visible. But that still doesn't mean in a corporal body. It means in our corporal bodies. In us, in our revelation. See, then I'm not looking for the coming of the Lord. That's already transpired by the descending of God through the message that was brought. Now, I might not fully comprehend that yet, and I might not be over that away to me. Sure. But the Lord has already descended. There's not another message to be added to this one. You know, the prophet's message. There's not another message to be added to that, or some secret tape somewhere they're withholding from us and haven't let us hear. But Brother Branham said these messages, now this will fit on over to the last part, said these messages are just a foundation for a short, powerful message. See, that's a long ways from what I'm talking about. But what I'm trying to get us to see, that God has already descended through the Word that's preached. That's the only way I can see it and fit the Scripture, like God's not over the sea or up in heaven, you know, or down under the earth or anything, but it's the Word which we preach. And everybody that ever saw God saw Him personal, never somewhere else. Saw Him right there with Him at the time. And Brother Branham saw Him right there with Him at the times. People will say, oh yes, that's back there. We can see Him back there. Or we see what He will be one of these days out there. And they never see what's going on at the time. And isn't that the warning the prophet gave us over and over? Never to look that way, never to look that way. Look at what's being done. Then the Lord has already descended with a shout. And then the voice of the resurrection would have to be right here among us then. But it's just like what I said now from what Brother Woodby was preaching one time. Or wasn't preaching, he was talking about this certain brother that said the headstone had come. Brother Woodby said, well, where's it at? And the man said, well, it's come. He said, well, did it come out there in the field? You know. See, we talk about the coming of the Lord in the revealed word, you know, the shout. Well, then where's the Lord at? Is it like some of them says that they want you, a man, I won't state who he was or what he was, but used to say that he wanted these books out because he's dead and gone on. He wanted the books to get into people's hands because then God could just walk right out of these books right into your heart. And he didn't say God, he said Brother Branham. I just rephrased what he said. He said Brother Branham could walk right out of these books right into your heart. Well, now, is God in these books? That's the shout now. But the shout is the word. Then that means this Bible would be just as much. I could hold it up and say the shout. Or I could put Brother Hantus up that would believe Brother Brown's message and say, there's the shout. Then the coming of the Lord is what's already been revealed to you or spoken to you from the Word. If you haven't heard the Word, then it couldn't be. Now, where will that leave the churches at then all across the land that haven't preached Brother Rand's message? Now, they've got the tapes and the books. They hold them up and say, we've got the prophet. But where's the prophet's message at? Then the coming of the Lord would have to be this message, rightly divided and understood rightly. Not just, we've got it. We're in the rapture. Because you never will come out to the voice of resurrection that way. You'll never come out to the voice of the resurrection and say, well, right here it is. Ain't that? That's the shout. And boy, them books are, and in there's the voice of the resurrection. The voice of the resurrection, Brother Brown said, was the same loud voice that raised Jesus, raised Lazarus from the grave. Then to me, you know what that simply means? I mean, this is a simple terminology of it. It means the shout, this message, Bible, whatever you want to call it, the living word, and then people, that will bring Jesus Christ, the voice of the resurrection, to you. Because what was our thoughts now? There's a connection between you and those that have died and gone on, and that could only be the faith that you have. Now, to show it like an example, they were saying when Brother Branham was here, let's fast and pray that God would send us a prophet. The Voice of Healing magazine was putting that out. And then printing articles of Brother Branham in the magazine. And Brother Branham said, they being religious feel the pull of the hour and cry for a prophet. Now is that the way he said it done? Well then the voice of the resurrection will have to be a connection some way between you and the person that's died and gone on through a pull that they feel. And that pull they feel will have to be faith. Faith is a revelation. Would have to be something in our faith. Now watch. That's page 32 of the Rapture book, where Brother Branham says it's the same loud voice that raised Lazarus. Let's just see what he said that voice was now, and let's see if it'll connect with what I just said right here. Let's just see if what he said now. He said it was the same loud voice. This will be page 34 and 35 of the Rapture. Therefore, the message calls the bride together. The shout and the trumpet. The same morning, with a loud voice, he screamed out with that shout. Now, the prophet just told you what Jesus used. He said the same morning, talking about the resurrection now, the same morning with a loud voice, a voice of the resurrection now, an archangel standing there. He screamed out with that shout. Now, let me rephrase that down to our day and time, okay? Some morning, the bride with the shout will cry out in the voice of the resurrection. Isn't the bride the final voice of the final age? Are we not expecting the ministry of Jesus Christ to be repeated among us? Is that what we're expecting? We're expecting the ministry of Jesus Christ because the prophet said it would have to be here. Then, the same morning with a loud voice, the voice of the resurrection, he screamed out with that shout and voice and woke Lazarus. It was the shout that done it. The shout is the message. It wasn't his hollering shout. Said that have to be there, sure. Watch it connect with the Old Testament saints when they raised, when he cried out on the cross. But sure. But now what did he cry? It says he cried and gave up the ghost. What did he cry? It don't say a word he cried. Back above there, he's cried out, you know, Eli, Eli, Sebastian, and all like that. But then when it gets on down here and they offered him something to drink there in the scripture and everything, you know, and he refused it and all, then it said he cried. Didn't say what he said. Whatever he said was not audible. What he said before then when he said, "Why hast thou forsaken me?" That was audible. But when he died down here in that cry as he was dying, that was not an audible understanding because it's not written in the Bible. So it evidently just had been a hard scream. But Brother Branham said he rose, the dead came out of the grave at that voice. Church, what I'm trying to get you to is what he's saying here. It will be the shout that raises the dead. When the shout is made manifest, are living in the people. When the word is revealed to the people, there is your voice of the resurrection. We know better than to say, shout means, hey, you know, voice of the resurrection. Come on up out of the grave. And then we call a trumpet. We laugh at that, don't we? Then where's it at? You say, that's too simple, Brother Dale. Show it to me in the message any other way. I challenge you on it. Because I've studied it and thought on it too much. I challenge you to find it in the message of the prophet any other way. Because he never separated the shout, the voice of the archangel, nor the trumpet. He put them all to be the same. It's the voice of God. You check his message and see. I'll read it to you. I've got them here if you want to. Just a few of them. You say it's too simple. I thought it was hidden in simplicity. Then the voice of the resurrection. Listen to what he's saying now. Therefore the message calls the bride together. Now watch him drop back. The shout and the trumpet. The same morning with a loud voice, he screamed out with that shout and voice and woke Lazarus. With a loud voice he cried, Lazarus, come forth. See? The voice wakes up the sleeping bride, the sleeping dead. And the trumpet with the sound of the trumpet, when it does, it calls, it's always a trumpet calling, called Israel to the Feast of the Trumpets. Then he gives you the scripture now of Matthew 27, beginning in verse 45. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all of the land until the night. About the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice saying, Eli, Eli, Lama Sabathian, which is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Some of them that stood by heard it and said, this man calls Elias. And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave it to him to drink. The rest said, let us see whether Elias will come and save him. Jesus, when he cried with a loud voice, yielded. A loud voice, watch. When Jesus died and screamed with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake and the rocks rent and the graves were opened and many of the bodies of the saints that slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the city and appeared unto many. Most people can't even separate that part of the scripture. When Jesus cried at Calvary, they didn't come out of the grave. They come out when he resurrected. Because that's what the scripture... See, it sounds like here it says the graves were open. Sound like they emptied up the graves and things. But then it goes on here to say, and came out of the graves after his resurrection. See, it's not just something happening right there and they come up. They come up with him because he, listen, he was the resurrection. Wasn't that what he said? I am the resurrection and the life. See, then he would have to be the resurrection. He's the only one that can resurrect us. Then the voice of the resurrection that I tried to get you to see was the same loud voice that he called back out with Lazarus was the shout. The shout was the voice that he was using. The message, the word. What caused Jesus to be able to go back there? Just because he hollered and said, come back, Lazarus? No, he was the Word. What caused Brother Brown to be able to call that little boy back from the dead? Because the Word had already told him. God had already spoken unto him and told him years before then and showed him a vision and said, you'll raise a boy from the dead. Listen, church, the voice of the resurrection is the revealed word. That's what I'm trying to get you to see. Because that's what brings Luther out. Because that's what he had. Page 14 of the rapture book, rapture's a revelation. What raised Lazarus? A revelation. What? The word of the Lord himself standing there. God himself in human flesh standing there called him back. No man could call him back. It was God in the man doing the calling. No one can call the resurrection. It'll be the word preached that causes it. The word of faith which we preach. It won't be us. It won't be no connection like links back down through there. But Brother Branham said one of these days Adam would reach over and get Eve. And Eve would reach and get Abel, Seth, and come down. He said there'd be a resurrection. The voice of the resurrection is the revealed word. Now then, has it been revealed to you what the prophet said? Has it been revealed to you what this shout is? The whole point is the shout. If we ain't got the shout right, there won't be no voice of the resurrection. That's what I'm driving at. Without the message placed rightly and preached rightly and planted rightly, there will be no voice of the resurrection. You'll never raise the dead with two souls. I'm talking about doctrine. You'll never raise the dead with these seven turned to virtue messages and things like that. You'll only raise the dead with the prophet's message preached in its entirety. That is the resurrection. The next is the trumpet. The next is what causes. But now listen. God maybe will never speak to me and you in an audible voice. He's never spoken to me audibly. He might have spoken to you. I've never heard him speak audibly to me. How does he speak to us? Through his revealed word. See, there's your voice of the resurrection. The revealed word, just like say, he does it. Then he reveals it, and then he'll make it manifest. Now, think about this for a minute. The ministry of Jesus Christ has to be among us. There's your voice of the resurrection. What brings the ministry of Jesus Christ among us? The preached word. Is that sensible? The preached word is what brings Jesus among us. Brother Branham said, if you want to see Jesus among you, preach the word. See, if you preach the word, Jesus will come to back up his word. But he don't come to back up man's ideas or thoughts or anything. If you preach the word, he'll come to back it up. Well, that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for the Lord to back up what he's preached through us. Because what kind of a voice was it that Elijah heard? There was thunders and lightnings and all kind of things going on. The Bible said it was a still small voice. It won't be no great thunders like, you know, everybody looking for something like that, it'd be the still small voice talking to you because that's where God talks to you at. Sure, he can choose to speak to you audibly if he'd like. But now listen, let's just take up this thought now for just a few minutes. If that be true, then what is the trumpet? If the shouts already went forth, and that's the message to get the people ready, the voice of the resurrection is the revelation of that message revealed to us, the word preached to us, that our faith connects to all the dead and raises them, and that voice that Jesus used was the shout, the word, because in the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God, and there was the word standing there and called Lazarus from the grave. And the voice of the resurrection is the revealed word. Then what about the trumpet? He does it, and then he reveals it, and then he makes it manifest. What about the trumpet that we're talking about that Brother Brown said these tapes and books is a foundation for a short, powerful message? When he says the trumpet, always called Israel, I was reading it to you there, it's on page 32 and 34 of the rapture, where he said it always called Israel. You know, together for a feast or anything. And he said he'll call us to the wedding supper. We know it's not a to-doot-to-doot trumpet. But listen, a trumpet gives a distinct sound. It doesn't sound like a violin, does it? The Bible said if a trumpet give an uncertain sound, see, then that's something somebody's preaching to you. That's a gospel that somebody preaches to you that's not right according to the Bible. You don't listen to them uncertain sounds. You listen to the certain ones. Like I was talking to a man the other day about it. He said, well, when like a you hear a certain kind of a music being played, you'd know a certain football team, you kids. If you heard a certain notes of music being played, you'd know what team was fixing to enter the field because they have their theme song. Is that right? They have a certain sound to their music for their theme song that they're coming on the field. Well, see, then God has a gospel trumpet. I want you to think about a trumpet. It will call us to the marriage supper. Brother Brown said, these tapes and books, we've got just a foundation for something to happen. It's a gathering of the people to the marriage supper. Then on page 451 of the Ten Virgins, he calls it a gospel trumpet or something. On page 579 of Book 11 in your Church Age series, every word of God is a trumpet. Every word is a trumpet. Page 14 of the Rapture. Rapture's a revelation. What kind of a trumpet then are you looking for if there's three phases to the Rapture? A revelation of God's Word. Page 569 of Book 11. A trumpet means war, either a revelation or something. We know back in the seal book that there was trumpets there where he was talking about it, and then when he preached the feast of the trumpets, he covered down through every church age that they had a gospel trumpet for each age. And the Bible says at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound. Not two different trumpets there. It's two stages of the same trumpet. the seventh church age messenger angel sounds a gospel. And out of that gospel he sounds comes a trumpet. Out of that gospel he preaches comes a gospel. Brother Randall said a gospel trumpet or something would sound, referring to that scripture on 451 of the Ten Virgins. Then there has to be a gospel trumpet, something we hear, and how can we hear without a preacher? Then somewhere somebody's going to be preaching that gospel trumpet, and it'll sound so odd to the people till they don't want to hear it no more. But yet to the genuine, it'll have the certain sound. To the real, it'll be the certain sound that they're wanting to hear. Brother Branham said, how would we know Jesus unless we was in the Word? If the shout is the message to get the people together, the voice of the resurrection is that Word revealed to you, then the trumpet won't be something different. It'll be something that all of the gospel ever were has always spoke of. Now let's use it in just a little different term. But think about it like this, to show you it's the same. Brother Branham says on page 597, book 12, 557, book 11, that's in your Church Age series. He says, Charlie, and he calls another brother's name there too. He said, the same voice that told you to turn around will one of these days call you up. You read those two books and see that the scripture I read from Revelations 4 and 1, how John, after seeing the church ages, was called up, and Brother Brown said that represents the resurrection, the rapture, and all going up. See, taken up. One time he says rapture, another time he says resurrection, so it's all going up. See, it just represents all of it. When he saw a door in heaven, and Christ was the door that was there, not a physical door, but Christ, because he's the only way to the resurrection, the rapture, anything. But he heard a voice. And Brother Branham said it was the same voice he heard on earth. Told him to come up. He said, Charlie, the same voice that told you to turn around, said one of these days will tell you to come up. Well, then what's people looking for in the gospel trumpet? The same gospel you start with that saves you will be the same gospel that'll carry you on through. Not looking for another great gospel or another message to come somewhere besides what Brother Branham's done brought. It just puts into action what he brought. It brings the message, the Word, to alive what he brought. The church comes to her place there. That voice of the resurrection connects all the way back and connects every person that's ever been connected to that faith. And it's the message they preach that brings them out of the grave. Then it comes down to that gospel trumpet. Something in that gospel that you hear. Then how important is it to hear? It all connects right back to the shout. Because if you ain't got the shout, Brother Branham said these tapes and books, this shout, is a foundation for a short, powerful message. Then you'll never know what the message is unless you know what the shout is. We can talk about how that there'll be a great gospel trumpet sound one of these days. Most of them want to say back there it's already sounded. Brother Branham, you know. What about me and you? The voice of the resurrection's already right here among us. But now, like Brother Woodby said, did it come out there on the highway or go on the railroad track? The Bible said it's the word of faith which we preach. It's in your heart and in your mouth. See, Luther and them couldn't understand that. They didn't know this in the rapture. They didn't know what was going on. They just lived their lives for their time. They just done what they're supposed to do. But we know something is working. But if we're not where it's working, then we'll never know what's going on. If we're not in the, Brother Brown said, recognizing your day in this message. See, we're not recognizing what's happening right now. And be in the message now where it's being revealed to us. Now, where does that leave the church world in? Where would that leave the church world if they don't know that? It would leave them just where Brother Brown said. He said the royal seed of Abraham is the only thing that'll go into rapture. Now the rest come up in the resurrection, be given eternal life and everything else. But I can't help that. I'd do anything I could to help any of them to see it. The people of this message or any denomination anywhere. But they've turned it down. The people of the message has turned it down. You know why they've turned it down? Now listen for a minute about what I was wanting to get to. What caused Adam not to want to hear the voice of God when he come talking to him, Mary? What was the trouble, the reason Adam didn't want to hear that voice? What was the trouble, the reason the children of Israel cried out there at Mount Sinai and said, don't let God speak to us, lest we die? They had already sinned. Adam and Eve had done sinned, and that brought then something in their own life of a condemnation. The children of Israel had done chose law for grace before they got to Mount Sinai. They didn't want someone anointed standing there speaking to them even. Oh, they said, don't let God speak. Moses, you do the talking to him. Moses said, all right. God said, I won't talk to you no more like that. I'll just send Moses. He sent Moses down there and he said, Moses, veil your face because they can't even look at you. And when Moses got through talking to him, we don't know what's going on. Moses, we don't know whether you're called or not. I guess me and Dathan and Korah here, we'll have to take over. We're spiritual too, you know. They didn't want God speaking through a man, let alone speaking himself. What about a group of people? As I said the other day, a group of people now gathering out to hear the voice of God. Wouldn't it be something today? What would it be in Lula, Georgia today if you could convince the world that next Sunday morning at 10 o'clock God is going to come down and speak in an audible voice here in Lula, Georgia? I mean, you could convince them it was going to be done. I don't mean foolishly, but convince them it's going to be done. Moses convinced those people that God was going to come down and talk to them. And they went out there, and before they ever got there, they said, no, we don't want him to speak to us. They'd done sinned. Sin had done entered the picture, and that's what's wrong with people now. They don't want you to talk about how the rapture is already in process. They want you to talk about how it will be. One of these days, we're going to come. The Lord's coming now. Let's all get ready and get everything good and straight and our lives good and clean because the Lord's going to come. Then somebody comes along and says, the Lord's already come. Oh, what kind of doctrine they gotten started now. The Lord's done come. Well, he hasn't come because if he'd have come, we'd know all about it. Wasn't that what they said to start with? Wasn't that what the Pharisees said? Wasn't that what all of them said? Well, won't it be said again? The Lord will already be here and gone. And they'll still be looking for his coming. And the great manifestation that goes with his going away of the church, of the latter rain, won't that, ain't latter rain coming in there right at the harvest? Boy, they'll be having a big time all over the world. If I say, oh, it's man, we're here now, the Lord's come. When it'll be his going away. Just look, church. Just think about this until we get back to preach on it. God does it, reveals it, and makes it manifest. The Lord himself shall descend with a shout, voice of an archangel, the trumpet of God. Does those three things fit with revealing it, doing it, revealing it, and then make it manifest? Does that fit that away? Let's just see if it'll fit with something Brother Branham said. He said the seventh seal was in a threefold manner. Now, what did he say that threefold manner was on Christ the mystery of God revealed? Let's see if it fits with doing it, revealing it, and then make it manifest the same way that it did right through this. On the seventh seal, when he was speaking of it on the seal book, he only spoke of a fold of it, and he said it was those seven thunders. Then when he come to Christ the mystery of God revealed it shortly thereafter, he preached a threefold revelation of the seventh seal. Read page 17, see if I think what he's talking about on. And he said, all God was, he poured in Christ, all Christ in the church, and take her back to the Garden of Eden, or, he said, restore fallen Eve. Now, think about, does it reveal it, make it manifest? Shout, voice of an archangel, a trumpet calling us to the marriage supper. See if it won't fit the same way. All God was, he poured into Christ, seven thunders. Ain't that what it is? All God was, he poured into Christ. That's the seven thunders. That's the first fold of the seventh seal. The second fold of the seventh seal is what? All Christ was, he pours into the church. The revelation of the Word. The revelation of seven thunders. Then what's the next? To restore fallen Eve. Shout is seven thunders. The message. Brother Branham's message before, he told in the rapture book over and over, his message began in the seal. That's where it was at. The other was the faith of the fathers. It had to be preached by a prophet to be restored to a church. Preaching what Paul preached was the faith of the fathers. That had already been preached. It wasn't his message to come preach what Paul preached. He had to do that to restore the church to where Paul had preached. His message was to bring the seals. That was his message. He said, not in the years of preparation, but he said when he begins to sound forth his message, then what was it? Seven thunders uttered their voices, brought the revelation of seven seals. When the church catches that, that'll be revealed to the church. There's your voice of the resurrection, right in those thunders. And then those thunders will carry us to the marriage supper, or restore fallen Eve. What would be restoring fallen Eve? It wouldn't be just to restore us back to the Garden of Eden, would it? Because that'd be where she fell from. That's true to go on back past where she fell from. That might be all right that way, but just restore it back to Eden. It's to restore her back to the original position in God's mind, to where she fell from. Restoring it right back to there, to where the mind would be totally restored, and there wouldn't be no fall. Then you'll be back in Eden, like it was before then. But listen, just to restore, I don't see, if you understand what I'm talking about, to restore fallen Eve to me don't mean put Adam and Eve back in the garden, because she was a byproduct. You understand me? She was a byproduct of that. Put it back in the rib. That's what I see when I see restore fallen Eve to the rightful position, is to restore right back in Adam in the rib. Because Christ is the only thing that means anything to any of us. He's the one that means anything, not the Eve. This church don't mean nothing. It's the Christ that's in this church that means something. It's Jesus Christ living in me and you that's important. It's not me and you. We just happen to be chosen vessels that he would choose to do that. But it's Christ in us. That's what I'm trying to get you to see in the whole thing. The whole thing is Christ. Christ is a shout. Brother Brown said Jesus does all three of these in his descending. The shout, the voice of the archangel, and the trumpet. It's all Jesus Christ. Well, then we know Brother Branham brought the shout. That's Jesus Christ, the message. In the beginning was the Word. Word was with God, and the Word was God. Then the voice of the resurrection would have to be right there in the same message. It wouldn't be something different to be looking for. It's the message revealed to us. As that Word, if you see what I'm trying to say, as the Word is revealed to you, that's raising you, ain't it? As the Word is revealed to me and you, isn't that raising us out of our carnality? Well, then wouldn't that be raising the dead at the same time? Wouldn't the raising of the dead already be there when the Word being revealed to you? Or are we looking for some kind of a loud voice? Then the trumpet would be a gospel trumpet when the Lord takes us out of here. That gospel trumpet. That the Lord Himself shall descend with a shout and the voice of an archangel and the trumpet of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first. George, would you come? And we which are alive and remain will be changed in a moment in a twinkling of an eye at the last trump. We've heard the last trumpet. Are you looking for another one? Most people are looking for another messenger to come. Now, they claim they're not. They're looking for Brother Brown to come back and preach another message. I don't believe it that way. I believe there's seven church ages and seven gospel trumpets, one to each church age. But in the last one, I believe that's why the Scripture is divided when it says, at the last trump. You know, the last trump, that word's interchangeable. You look it up in your Greek, it's trumpet, trumpet, or trump. At the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound. Somewhere in Brother Branham's message of the seventh trumpet that was sounding, there is a gospel trumpet to be brought out of that. That is your change in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. May simply be that the Lord reveals to you that you're already changed. Might be that simple. But they that have stayed with the Word will come out. They that haven't, there's no way church can come out. Do you see what I'm talking about? If we don't howl the shout, we can't come out. That's what I've tried to get people to see ever since I've been in this message, that I could even see that much. If we don't get in Brother Branham's message and get that message embedded into our hearts, not just read the books, not just listen to tapes, not just go to church and be good, never, but to get Christ alive in our hearts, living among us, there will be no voice of the resurrection and there'll be no trumpet. Is that what the prophet taught? Pull the tapes and listen to them and see what the prophet taught about. Did he ever teach for us to dry up and blow away? Is that what he done? Did he just teach for us to dry up and blow away and say, well, we're all in bad shape. They just ain't none of us doing too good. Man said the other day, he said, well, everywhere I hear, said they just this man's got an idea how it is, and that one's got an idea how it is. And said, I didn't even say a word. I didn't even say a word back to him. Because you know what that is. It's the truth, really. This one does have an idea that, but somewhere there's a word. Somewhere there's a truth. Somewhere there's a change. Let's stand together. Let's just sing that I'm bound for the promised land. Because that's where I'm bound for. Are you? 223. Because that's where I want to go. I want to get out of here. But it'll be done by the Word and the Word only. On Jordan, stormy banks I stand, cast a wishful eye toward Canaan's fair and happy land where my oh,
possessions lie. I am bound for that promised land. I am bound for that promised land. Oh, who will come and go with me? I am bound for that promised land. O'er all those wide extended plains shines one eternal day. There God the sun forever reigns and scatters his night away. I am bound for the promised land. I'm bound for that promised land. Do you mean it? Oh, who will come and go with me? I am bound for that promised land. No chilling winds nor poisonous breath can reach that helpful shore. Sickness and sorrow, pain and death, feared and felt no more. I am bound for the promise. You have a need? You have a need. The altar's open. The land. Oh, who will come and go with me? I am bound for that promised land. When shall I reach that happy place and be forever blessed? When shall I see my Father's face and in his bosom rest? I am bound for that promised land. I am bound for that promised land. Oh, who will come and go with me? I am bound for that promised land.
And we appreciate each one of you being out this morning. Just appreciate your presence with us. Pray for us. Lord may guide us. I'll try to call Brother Woodby this evening and talk to him if I can, make sure if he's coming next week. But Lord willing, they'll be here next weekend to speak for us. So pray for him and pray for the Lord to guide us all as we journey through life, because we need it one another, don't we? Praying one for another, the Lord may guide us. Anyone have anything to say before we dismiss? Remember, if you see any of the brothers and ministers meeting, will be here on the third Saturday of this month. So just, third Saturday of August. This is still July. So it'll be the third Saturday in August. It'll be here at the church. If you see any of the brothers or any of them would like to come and fellowship with us. Father, we thank you for an opportunity of being here. We thank you for your word. Lord, within our hearts, we feel that your word will do a work among us, that it'll be made manifest right here among us. We may be a small group, but there was about 12 men there of the church at Ephesus. And Lord, what a great church that was. What a great church this can be. If we'll just believe thy word and just walk in you, send in those lords you'd have to hear your word. Because we believe your word. We believe that we'll walk in the light. We'll have fellowship one with another. The blood of Jesus Christ will atone for our sins. Just guide us now as we dismiss. Take care of the people on the highways. Gather together us again in you. In Jesus' name. You're dismissed. Take the name of Jesus with you.